Hallelujah. Were you ready for the Word of God this morning? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 12:3, and let's start off with our verse for the year. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. Always, even in this time, even today, even in your situation, God, if we will follow Him, will lead us in triumph in Jesus Christ. Now, My kickoff verse is from a couple weeks ago now, but Proverbs 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." We've raised the question, who is your lender? If the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender, who is your lender? Who, in other words, who is your source? Is it God, or is it the government? Is it God, or is it people? Is it men? Now, that's a crucial question, because whatever you view as your source is where your allegiance is going to be. Because you will always have the allegiance to that which blesses you, to that which you see as being all the help that you get. That will be your allegiance. Okay? Now, go to 1 Corinthians 12. I'll get there quick today. Hallelujah, someone said. Oh, that was me. But 1 Corinthians 12:3, he says, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." We said, Gordon, what does this have with your allegiance will be to your source? I believe if you put this verse together, if no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit, put that together with Matthew 16, where Jesus asked the disciples, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus, the reply is interesting. Jesus said back to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." In other words, you didn't get this just from watching things. You didn't get this because you studied in a book. You didn't get this because you heard great sermons. You got this, listen, "but by my Father who is in heaven." In other words, the only way that Peter could have really understood and confessed that Jesus is the Christ is by a revelation from God. Now, this is what 1 Corinthians 12:3 says, "No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." Now, the concept that Jesus is Lord is that Jesus is my source. He is my life. He is my breath. It's not that, yeah, Jesus has a position up in heaven. No, 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 no. Lord means Lord. And when they used that term back then, and I believe that the Greek doesn't say it right. I believe, you object, we good people can object on this. I believe that the word Yahweh ought to be in there. It's not that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is God. He's recognizing Jesus as the source. This isn't a little thing of a, yeah, I know Jesus holds an appointed office. This isn't a Lord as the Lord of a manor. This isn't a Lord as a representative or a dignitary. This is Yahweh. And I believe we ought to read it like that. I believe we ought to say it. Now, I know the interpretation isn't there, but in Hebrew, I think it would be. And this is written in Greek, not Hebrew. And I think he's saying, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You are Yahweh. You are God. And Jesus said, man, if I'm your Lord, I'm your source. Because that's what lordship means. I do nothing without God's approval. I don't go anywhere. Lord, your will, not my own. Isn't that what Jesus taught us? Lord, not my own will, but your will be done on the earth, even as it's in. That's how he taught us to pray. So if we recognize Jesus as Lord, that comes by revelation. And sadly, many Christians don't have that revelation. Yeah. Oh, Jesus is Lord. Oh, yeah, he's at the right hand of glory. Yeah, he is. Yeah, Jesus is Lord because, I mean, he's the Son of God. Yeah, that's right, he is. Jesus is Lord because when we come to church, we respect him. Yeah, that's a good thing to do, but is he your source? Now, see, that changes things. Is he where you get your wisdom? See, the Bible says we live and move and have our being in him, but if he's not your Lord, you don't live or move and have your being in him. He's just another thing you have on the shelf. Jesus doesn't want to be put up there with a bunch of other ornaments. He wants to be the head ornament. You know, when Dad taught me to drive, we had a, that was back when the days, some of you are old enough to remember this, they had ornaments on the hood of the car. And as he taught me to drive, he says, Gordon, watch that ornament and always be sure it's on the line on the side and you'll always be in your lane. Well, now that I've gotten more comfortable, I don't need that ornament there to guide me, because one is not there anymore. I'd be all over the car. I don't have an ornament. You know. But Jesus wants to be that ornament. He wants to be that focus of your life that keeps you on the road, that keeps you going in the right direction, that keeps you from going off the road and crashing. And see, if Jesus is your Lord, then that will work. If Jesus isn't our Lord, we have all kinds of crashes. We have all kinds of wrecks going on in life because we're not following Jesus. We're not letting Him direct our life. So this is a profound statement. No one can say Jesus is Lord, Yahweh, supplier, except by revelation. Now that's a profound revelation if you get a hold of that. It'll answer a lot of questions in your life. But God, I trust in You. Well, if you would have trusted Him, you wouldn't have got in the problem you're in. Everybody says, oh my or oh me. I just, yeah. It's, seriously, isn't that true? I mean, most of the time when we get into trouble, we'll say afterwards, I knew I shouldn't have done that. Don't you? I had something on the inside of me that says, don't do that. And you went ahead and did it. Why? Jesus is a Lord. Oh, this is getting a lot of amens. This is a better message than that, I want to tell you. But said, no one can say Jesus is my supplier except by revelation of the Holy Spirit. He is our Jehovah Jireh. He is our supplier. He is the one who sees in advance our need and has already made provision for our need before you became aware of it at all. Before you opened your eyes and say, I'm in trouble, God has already provided a way out. He's already provided a way of escape. And you don't know that except by revelation. You don't get it because you heard a sermon about it. You don't get it just because you listened to some DVDs about it. You don't get it just because you studied about it. You get it by revelation. He is my provider. I may be in this mess, but praise be to God, Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus has a way out of me in this situation. He has the problem already answered. If I will listen to Him, even in the midst of the pit, He has a way for me to get out of it. Amen? If he's not a savior. Amen. Amen? He's not a deliverer if he has no way. I mean, can you imagine God looking at your situations? God, I don't know what to do. You know? So I never thought of this one before. I didn't think people could get this serious. And can you imagine God ever being caught in a moment like that? No, he's God. He knows everything before it happens. He knows what's going to happen before it happens. From the beginning of time, Jesus Christ was a sacrifice from the foundation of the earth. Hallelujah. So now this is important because it's an understanding God is outside the natural. Now we've touched on this a little bit in the previous months, but God is outside the natural. And see, when you're only looking at the natural, you cannot see the supply of God. If Jesus is not your Lord, you cannot see the supply of God. All you can see is the natural surroundings. All I can see is what I can feel and touch and taste and hear and smell. That's all I can understand, because that's the limit of my revelation. That's the limit of my sight. But if Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is outside of my time, He's outside of my circumstances, He's outside of the natural realm, but He can invade my realm. He can transform it. He proved that in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Well, how could God take on flesh? I don't know, but He did it. That's all I need to know. And see, the ones who deny the incarnation of Christ, the ones who make light of that, are really stating a belief that God cannot affect this realm. God created this realm. I was thinking about this the other night. Have you ever taken a bowl of water and put your finger in it And it's just like, how can you do that? That's water. How can you just put your finger in that water? It causes disturbances. It causes all kinds of things to happen. How can you do that? Well, I just can. So can God. He can just put his finger in your life and stir up your little quiet. Stir up your little, I got a nice little pond going on here, God. Don't disturb me. God says, okay, I'll just put my finger in it. Why? Because he wants you to know God can come into your life. That's the new birth. That is salvation. That is prayer. God invading the natural. This is who he is. God's not a clockmaker where he created the earth and wound it up and left, and he's going to come back in another millennia or so and check in on the planet and say, how are you guys doing down there? He is not like that. He is watching us. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is roaming over the face of the earth, seeking an honest person. Who's an honest person? Lord, you're my Savior. You're my Lord. You're my source, oh God. I can't do this on my own, but God, you can. You can intervene in my life, God. You can come in and make my mess a blessing. See, this is an honest person, one who believes in God, one who trusts God, one who calls out. This is an honest person because we're saying, Lord, this life is overwhelming. I don't have the answers. I don't have the understanding. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have, Lord, what I require, but Lord, you do. And I ask you, God, to come into my life and, Lord, give me whatever I need. I found out I needed just about everything. I mean, I needed a new heart. I needed new legs. I needed new toenails. I mean, everything. Lord, just quicken me. I like Romans 8 where it says the Holy Spirit quickens our mortal flesh. I mean, if there's ever a scripture for healing, he can come and he can quicken it. I mean, he can just take that old cake batter and he can just stir it all up. I've got all these elements and all these things that I just, what do you do with this stuff? And God says, here, I'll take over. He stirs it all up, gets all the ingredients just right, and it's ready to be fixed. And it's like, thank you, God, you came in my life. Thank you, Lord, you've put everything together that was fighting each other and struggling with each other. Thank you, God, you are the one that's been able to do this. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. It says, now to him, to God, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, listen, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. There's a power that works within us. It's called the Holy Ghost. It's called God. It's called the Father, Son, and the Spirit. That power that works in us. This power is able to do exceedingly abundantly above, beyond anything that we can ask or think. That's God. Whatever you can think of, just think of God can do more. You think about getting out of your mess, yeah, God can get you out of your mess and more. Think, but Lord, I need to be healed. God can heal you and more. Lord, I need to get a right mind. God can give you a right mind and more. So always add more. Whatever you're at when you're in prayer and you pray, God, I need this and this and this, and just add and more. And more. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly more than what you can ask or even think. God, you're the more in my life. You're that extra. You know, there's some people that can make cake. Debbie's mom could make cake. I mean, I can make a box cake. I can make a scratch cake if I have the recipe. Debbie's mom could make cake. I mean, I don't know what she did. It's kind of like what Kung Fu Panda. He said there's a secret ingredient. Tell me what the secret ingredient is. Secret ingredient is that other people think there's a secret ingredient when there's no ingredient at all. It's called God. We're walking around with a secret ingredient on the inside of us. And we don't have a clue. We're walking around with the power that works within us, and we don't have a clue. We're going around with a God who created all the universe, and we don't have a clue that God can stick his finger in our life and change anything he needs to change for your benefit, for your blessing. We don't understand this kind of a God. Gordon, you are talking out of your mind. No, I'm talking about Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Son of God who was made to be flesh, came into this world, died for your sin, Well, Gordon, I just don't know how that could be. Well, then you're still in your sin. Now, think about it. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to make a point. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ could become flesh, could come to the earth, could die with your sin, to take your sin on, then you are still in your sin. Because there's no remedy for it. But praise God, we're not those who don't believe. We believe Jesus Christ. We believe he was born of the flesh. I got in trouble in seminary for this because there was this one guy we were studying, and I think it was Moltmann. I think Rudolf Moltmann was his name. He wrote a book called The Theology of God. I read the first sentence, which was about a page and a half long. It was all one paragraph, one sentence. And I read that, and I thought, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about because he can't say it. And I did some studying, and I got into trouble in class because the professor, I only read that one sentence. I didn't read anything more. And the professor, we're talking about him, and he called on me. I'm thinking, oh, golly, why did you call on me? And he said, Gordon, what do you think? I said, I don't think he's a Christian. And the whole class, how can he not be a Christian? He wrote a book. Get this for being a Christian. He wrote a book on the theology of God. Wow, you got to be a Christian to do that. No, you don't. But he said, well, why don't you think he's a Christian? I said, well, he rejects the virgin birth. He rejects the deity of Christ. He rejects the incarnation. He rejects the atoning death of Jesus on the cross. He rejects the resurrection of Christ. He rejects everything about Christ. And everybody goes, huh? And the professor said, Gordon's right. He said the Lutheran church, he was a Lutheran, by the way, but he said the Lutheran church would be considering for years whether or not they should excommunicate him. See, my question is, why do you want to claim to be a Christian when you're not? Why do you want to claim to be a believer when you're not? If you don't accept what Jesus did for you, you're not a believer. You may want to be, but you have no revelation. What do you mean revelation? No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit of God. Now, how do I get a revelation? Well, the old timers say, pray it through, and there's a lot of truth in that. It's like, Jesus, your Lord, Jesus, your Lord, Jesus, your Lord. And then one day you'll wake up, Jesus is Lord, hallelujah. And it's like, now it's by revelation. But we have to renew our minds sometimes to these things. We know the facts, we know the reality, we know the theology of it, but we haven't had the revelation, he's my Lord. And if Jesus has done all those things for me, then who I am is not defined by my past. Is defined by who Jesus is. And if Jesus is living in me, the new definition I have for my life, for my future, is not what I've done in the past or what I did 5 minutes ago. It's who Christ is in me, the hope of glory. See, we are being conformed to the image of Christ. Do I have everything right? Do I have everything perfect? I know you think I do, but I really don't. But in Christ, I am perfect. In Christ, I have no flaws. Why? Because God looks at me and justifies me according to not my works, but my faith in him. That's grace at its best. I can be a royal mess up, but I can turn and believe in Jesus Christ, and God says, you're clean. Isn't God good? But then I've got to live by that righteousness of who I am in Christ. Okay? Who I am in Christ. Christ has set me free. So when I'm tempted to go back to old patterns, you know, it's like, no, I'm free of that. I'm free, I'm free, I'm free, I'm free. And you're fighting a battle with the devil in your mind as to which way you will choose. God says this. He said, I set before you this day life and death. And this is an open book test, people. He says, I set before you this day life and death, therefore choose life that you may live. Not only is it an open book test, he gives you the answer. So when you're in the pit, choose life. Just say, Lord, I don't know how I got here. I don't understand everything, but I choose life. I choose you, God, over this circumstance. I choose you, Father, over the issues that I'm having. I choose you, Father. Why? Because Jesus is Lord. He is the head of my life. I live and move and have my being in Christ Jesus because he has redeemed me from the things of the past, redeemed me of wrong thinking, redeemed me of sin. He's paid the price, and I'm done with it. Oh, hallelujah. This is better than your shouting. You ought to shout on some of this. Still in Ephesians, go to verse 14. He says, and Paul begins, this is his famous prayer for the church. I really believe this is him interceding for us. In verse 14, he says, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he, God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his strength," strengthened with might in his strength, "to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that you think or ask, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." This is an awesome thing. Now think about this. According to the riches of his glory, not my glory. It's the only thing I have in this is being filled. Now, have you ever tried to fill a pitcher without taking the cap off? I've done that once or twice in the dark. Just grabbed the pitcher, put it under the faucet to fill it up, and I realized my hand's all wet that the cap's still on, so I have to take the cap off. Then everything works right. The only part I have in this is letting God fill me. That's the only requirement I have. Take my cap off. Let him in fill me with who he is. So we're being, it's according to his glory that we're strengthened. And this is a verb, not a noun. It's not a depiction. It's not a picture. This is a verb. It literally means to strengthen. In other words, his glory causes me to be strengthened. It causes strength to come on the inside of me. So as I'm concentrating and focusing on his glory, on his workmanship in me, it causes me to be strengthened in the power of his might. And then the power of his might begins to work in me. And as that power works in me, he can do in me more than what I can ask or think. Because it's his power. All I have to do is, "Yes, Lord." See, the declaration of salvation is what? Jesus is Lord. That's it. That's it. It's not, "God, I have sinned, and you know how much I've sinned, and God, I've made all these mistakes." How is that going to get you out of your mess? It won't. And yet we've been taught for years and years, if you want to be saved, you've got to confess all your sins. Does that mean if you miss one that you're damned? Think about it. What about that sin when you were 12 years old? God still has it on record. And you are in big time trouble if you don't confess that sin. It's like, no, by announcing that Jesus is Lord, I am saying, "God, you've got to intervene in my life. Lord, you've got to come and take complete charge over who I am and what I do, because I can't handle life. I don't know about you, I couldn't. And I figure you're probably a lot like me in that way. I can't handle all these. I know this amazes you too. I am not smart enough to get all this stuff figured out. I really am not. But I have the mind of Christ. I have borrowed information." And I don't even have to try to remember it, because the Holy Spirit will bring to my remembrance all that Jesus taught. So I don't even have to worry about trying to remember all this stuff, because when I need it, I've got the mind of Christ. It's like having a computer that's always on the internet. Whenever I need anything, just click a button. It doesn't matter which one, but just click a button and the answer automatically comes up on the screen. Thank you, Jesus. We're living on borrowed information from God. Amen. Now, this might is dunamis that operates through his spirit in our inner man. Dunamis, miracle working power of God. The word that we get dynamite from. That's this kind of power. It can explode your world, your situation, all apart and put it back all together the correct way. Now, let me ask you a question. Who would ever have thought about this? In your wildest imagination, who would come up with the idea of putting God on the inside of you? Who could come up with that? Would you have ever thought, I mean, in your wildest imagination, that God, the author, the creator, the sustainer, the deliverer would come and live in you? I couldn't. I was raised in church. I never, God in me? There's no way. In this thing, there's no way. Who could have ever thought about this? God did. God thought about it. I'm going to find a way to get me back into humanity. I'm going to find a way, and whether they want me to or not, I'm going to find a way, and I'll do it through Jesus. And I'll put myself in him. And he worked for years and years until he found a man by the name of Abraham. Or Abram at the time. And Abram said, I'll believe you, God. I'll believe you. He was justified by his faith. And because of the faith of Abraham, you and I are born again. Because Abraham gave God an entrance to come in the earth in human form and take on our sins. And he said, if any man would ask me, I will come in. If any man would ask. So this is not an exclusive club. God wants everyone to be on the inside of it. But God thought about this. From before the foundation of the world, before he created heaven and earth, before he created humanity, God had the idea, I'm going to live in flesh. I'm going to live inside of people. And then he created you. So he could live, have a place to live. I mean, I feel blessed to actually own my home. I cannot imagine having two houses. But there's a lot of people around here, they've got two homes. They may call it camp or whatever, but they've got two homes. But there's other people, they have three or four homes. And they enjoy all of them. And they dress them up and do different things in all the homes. Now think about all the homes. God wants to come and live in each one of us. All the homes that he has. And every one of them is unique. Every one of them is special. And God just says, sometimes I'm just going to live in Debbie. Oh, I like this. I don't think I want to leave. I think I'll live in Paul. I don't think I want to leave here either. God's big enough. He can inhabit all the houses at one time and enjoy all of them. And we get to enjoy him. Isn't that neat? Isn't that cool? God lives in all of us. He wants his home. He wants to abide in us as we abide in him. And as we abide in him, we give God access. We give God place to live in our lives, to manifest, to do things in and through us beyond what we can ask or even begin to think. No one could have come up with this idea. No one in history until Abram. And the New Testament is all about this great miracle, this powerful love of God that wants to come and make his home on the inside of us. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that just wonderful? See, in verse 20 it says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, to the dunamis that works in us. As we allow that work of God in us, God is able to conform us to his image more and more. Now, real quick, I just want to give you a couple verses. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It says, by faith. But I've died. I have ceased to live. This is all in that declaration of Jesus as Lord. Jesus is my supplier. He says, it is no longer I who live. It's Christ that makes his home in me. It's Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. That he is greater. He's the more that I need. He's the above and beyond that I need in my life. This is my Lord. This is the one I go to. In Philippians 4:19, it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Mark 9:23, I'll close with this, I guess, if I can. Mark 9:23 says, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now, I'm going to give you a real revelation here. And this is a biggie. I've been giving you several today. But here's a real biggie revelation. If all things are possible to him who believes, is God a believer? Yeah, he is. He believes in you. He believes in those who call on his name. He believes in Jesus Christ. See, all things are possible for God. This is how God thinks. This is natural to God. I can do all things. Why? I'm a believer. Think about that. God can't say, "Boy, I'm a doubter today. I don't feel real." No, God is always a believer. He is always on. So God just naturally thinks, I can do anything I want to do. Because he's a believer. Now, if you and I have the mind of Christ, shouldn't we start thinking like God? Hey, I'm a believer. I can do all things. Even when everybody else says, no, you can't. Yeah, I can. If God's in it, I can do all things. I can do all things that God's called me to do because it's through Christ. I can do all these things. I can do more. How can you do more? Because I've got the more living in me. Are you getting it? God's a believer. He lives in us. And if we have the mind of Christ, we ought to be a believer like God. Amen. Amen. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. See, God's not done with you yet. He's still got things to do. Amen. See, Abram believed that God would raise Isaac from the dead. The three Hebrew children that were thrown into the fiery furnace believed God would deliver them. They had that confidence. If you read that scripture right, they had confidence that God would bring them out. The Bible says they came out without even the smell of smoke. Now that is powerful. I mean, you just hang around a campfire for a little bit and, you know, you get all that smoky stuff on you. Ooh, take your clothes off outside. I don't want that smell in my house. It's like, these guys were in a fiery furnace that was so hot that the people who threw them in were destroyed by the fire. And they came out of it not even smelling smoky. They knew the more. You can come out of your situation and you don't have to have all the negative memories. You don't have to have all the hurts. You don't have to have all the pressures, the issues to deal with. God can deliver you from your fiery furnace and you won't even smell like smoke. Nobody will know you've even been in it. That amazes me sometimes when I talk to people and they'll look at me and say, "Gordon, you have no idea what I'm going through." I'm thinking, how do you know what I have or have not experienced? How do you know what battles I've had to fight? And see, all they can see is what's present. All they can see is that. They don't know anything about my past. But, and I'll tell you, because we are blessed, people think you've never had a problem in your life. See, they don't smell the smoke. I've been through the fire. But I'm around other people. They say, "Well, you've had the blessed life. You've had the perfect life. You've never had a problem in your life at all." You don't have a clue. Because they're sniffing. No, I don't smell smoke. Let's go over here. Now you're too perfect too, because I don't smell smoke. How about you?
I don't think so.
I don't smell smoke here either. And say, "Well, you guys have always been blessed. You have just always known God, haven't you?" Uh-uh. You don't know what God's brought me out of. You don't have a clue what God's delivered me from. And what the only reason, because I've told my testimony to some people, and they still go like, "No. Yeah." The thing is, you're trying to look for smoke, and there's not a smell of smoke on me. Hallelujah. See, more than you can ask or think. More. He can bring you out. It does not matter what your current condition is. It doesn't matter where you came from. God's not judging you according to your past. He's judging you by your faith. And praise God, He can add to our faith. And we can add to that faith. And we can trust in God more than we did yesterday. And God will bring us out. And people look at you one day and say, you've never had any problems, have you? You've always just been blessed. You've always just known God. You. And you go, they don't smell the smoke. They don't smell the smoke. Yes, Jesus. Oh, Father, we praise you. We praise God you have made us smokeless. We praise you, God, that you dwell in us and live in us and move in us. Lord, that we've taken the cap off of our lives. And Father, we invite you in, God, in greater measure. Lord, come and pour out in us and through us. Lord, cause your blessing to be upon us. Lord, to erase our past, to help us get beyond those things, to trust in you, Father, for a better tomorrow than we have today. Lord, our confidence is in you. And Father, we declare that Jesus is Lord. He is our supplier. He is our source. He is our God. He is our strong tower in time of trouble. He is our refuge. He's all that we need and more. And more. And more. God, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. We thank you, Father, you've chosen us out of all the world to live in us, to make your home in us. And Father, we give you praise for this love that you have for everyone present in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, God bless you.